Thank you, Father. Father, we're rejoicing in you today. We ask you now, Lord, to anoint us and enable us and give us the wisdom and the ability to share the Word of God. Lord, I pray for this people that they will receive the truth of this Word. And Lord, I pray that they're praying for me, that I will be able to be a willing servant, a vessel of honor that can pour out good things. Lord, I pray that you pray for us, that, Lord, our spirits can commune, and, Lord, we'll be deep to deep. Lord, I say and I pray that they will not see me according to the flesh, but, Lord, they'll see me according to the purpose that you've set me, that you've called me to do. Lord, they'll see me as a pastor and a teacher. Lord, they'll see me, Lord God, as somebody who diligently is trying to bring the Word of God to them. Lord, I pray that their prayer for me is, Lord, help him and bless him and enable him to do what you've called him to do. And if you're in agreement with that prayer, say with me, amen. 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 Thank you, Father. Dr. Cash and I were here Wednesday morning, 6 a.m. time, and we were sitting and we were talking about prayer. And it became very interesting to me that sometimes prayers are answered and sometimes prayers aren't answered. Who's ever experienced that? Sometimes it seems like they're answered, and then sometimes they're just not answered. And sometimes you can pray, boy, I mean, you can get the unction in there, and boy, you can get your voice raised, and you just feel the goosebumps, and you know God is going to move on that thing, and you turn around, and God's nowhere to be found. And other times you don't have any faith at all. You're just doing it because you know you're supposed to, and you turn around, and there's God, and it's done. How many has ever done this now? I want to be talking to people. I think this is what Christianity and the church experiences in their prayer life. And so we come to the point and we say, well, why should I pray? God's just going to answer it if he wants to anyway. I mean, you know, sometimes you don't even pray about something and God does something in it, you know. And you don't understand, you know, Lord, why? Why? Why are we praying? And so what that will lead us to do is to a place that we have a very undisciplined prayer life. Because we know God's answering prayers, it's just not my prayers that he's answering. People tell you, boy, I was in a hurry and I went through town and I prayed all the lights would be green. And I went through town and all the lights were green. I was going to the mall, they say, and I prayed for a parking place right in the front. And I got to the parking place, got to the mall, there was my parking place. Right? You ever heard these kinds of things, you know? And you pray those prayers and the lights are red and you go to the mall and you got to park on the other end of the lot and you say, God, why are you answering their prayers? We're going to be talking about these things for the next few weeks. And so what this develops within us is a very undisciplined prayer life. And we find that we only pray when times are tough. We only pray when, as you'll see in a few seconds, when the bees start chasing us. We only pray when there's something that's after us and seems like if we don't pray, then everything surely will fall apart. And we become very undisciplined in our prayer life because it doesn't seem like God's moving anyhow. Well, Wednesday morning we were talking about this, and so I just went home and I began to pray and meditate about that and began to look in the Word of God. And I wanted to find out, Lord, why is it? Why is it, Lord, that sometimes you answer prayers and sometimes you don't? And when you don't, why is it that you don't? And when you do, why is it that you do? And why is it sometimes, Lord, I can feel good about a prayer and you not do anything? And sometimes, Lord God, it seems like I don't feel anything and you move. I don't understand it. Will you help me? And he began to open up some things to me, and I want to share with you some things over the next several weeks that God just began to open up to me. Begin with, I want to look in the book of Luke, chapter 11 and verse 1. This is a familiar passage with you who attend here regularly. This is a passage of Scripture that we spent several weeks on preaching from. I'm not going to preach the same message from it. I just want to use it as a springboard. I want to use it because the Word of God encourages us to pray, does it not? We're going to read right here in a few seconds in Luke 11 where he says, ask and what? It shall be given unto you. You see, and we got to understand that the Word of God encourages us to pray. But if our prayer is not answered, is it God that's missing it? That's the question. If our prayers are not answered, is it God that's missing it? Or is it something possibly that we could be doing in error? And that's what I want to look at. Why are our prayers not answered? Luke 11 and verse 1. And it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, how many realize that Jesus prayed? He had his place of prayer. Prayed in a certain place that he had finished. One of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. We've commented on this passage several times. It's not, he didn't say, teach us how to pray. What did he say? Teach us to pray. Teach us how to have the discipline in our life to pray. Teach us how to cause this house, this temple, to become a house of prayer. He says, my house should be called what? A house of prayer. Teach me to have the discipline in our life. We've talked about all these things. He goes here and he shares the Lord's Prayer. And we talked about these 6 and 7 arteries that are in our spiritual life that we need to have unplugged every day, and how the cleansing out of these things in our life every day will keep you in a maintaining prayer life with God. We talked about that. Then he moves from that point, he moves down into, he talks about praying persistently. He says your prayer life needs to be persistent. You need to learn how to persistently pray. Pray these things diligently. And I want to read again in verse 9. And I say to you what? Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Now, how many know you're supposed to ask? But if something doesn't happen, can you understand if I go ahead now and say, you should start seeking? Why? What you've asked for hasn't happened. And after you've asked and you sought, and you need to start knocking on God's door and say, God, why? Ask and seek and knock. And he says, if you keep on asking and you keep on seeking and you keep on knocking, it's going to happen. He just wants us to ask and do some seeking and do some knocking. Can you see that there? He wants us to find out why the thing isn't happening. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. You've heard that all your life. Then verse 10 says, for everyone who asks does what? Receive. And he who seeks does what? Finds. And he who knocks, it shall be opened unto him. So we've heard that message, but I wanted to use this as a springboard to show us and encourage us that God's word encourages us to pray. Ask, he says, and it shall be given unto you. He tells us in Matthew chapter 18, he says, where any two of you agree together on the earth as touching anything, what does he say? I shall do it. I'll give it to you. And in John 14, what does he tell us? He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do what? Do it for you. And the word of God is filled with promises that if we'll just ask. James tells us this. He says, you have not. Why? Because you ask not. And we can get into a whole lot. We're going to talk about these scriptures as the times go on. But what I'm wanting us to say now is that God encourages his people to ask him. Now, is God teasing us? Is he tricking us? Is he just wanting us to do these things just to see if we'll do them? Or is he really serious when he says, if you ask it, I'll do it. If you speak it, it'll happen. We know God is real. We know that he's not just fooling with us, not just playing with us. God wants his people to pray. What I want us to look at now is the first reason that I find in the Bible why God sometimes does not hear our prayers. I want you to look with me in the book of Deuteronomy. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1. How many could use some messages like this? Maybe look into our lives a little bit and see maybe why God is not answering some of our prayers. We're praying, but we get discouraged because our prayers aren't answered. Well, I want to find some reasons over the next several weeks. I've already begun to look, and I've already found 7 reasons. Already found 7 reasons that the Bible says that he will not listen to us. He will not hearken unto our prayer. Here's the first one. I'm going to share this one today. I want to share 2 more tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 1, the Israelis are now, again, for the second time, at Canaan's border. They're about to go in. Moses is going to die shortly. Joshua will receive the reins to rule and to lead the nation. And in the book of Deuteronomy means the second time. He's giving them the law the second time. In the first several verses, several chapters, he's telling them why. He's rehearsing the history of the last 40 years with the people that's going in. See, the people that he's talking to here is not the people that this really happened to. Those guys passed away. Those guys didn't go in. What he's talking to here is that generation that does go in. He's talking to the people here. He's rehearsing the history with them and telling them why they're where they are at the time that they're there. And I want to start just reading here in chapter 1, when we begin reading at verse 21, Deuteronomy 1 and 21. See, the Lord your God has placed the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has spoken to you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Now, what was the Lord's purpose? What's the Lord's purpose here? To take the land. Do you see that? God's purpose has always been to take the land. It's never changed. Do you realize that Revelation chapter 5 verse 10 says you will reign with Him where? On the earth. That's what the Bible teaches. God wants the land. He builds churches and He puts them in cities so that the city can be taken. That His church will be raised up and that it will take the land. It's always His plan. It's always His purpose to have a people that rule and a people that reign. You don't have to wait until you die to reign. We should be able to do it right now through our prayer life. When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. So He says that I want you to go into the land. Now drop down to verse 26. Yet you were not willing to go up, but you did what? But rebelled against the commandment. And that word in the literal is mouth. You rebelled against the mouth of the Lord your God. Verse 27, and now you grumbled in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, He has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the land of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified to heaven. And besides, we saw the sons of Anak there. Let's go on down to verse 41. Then you answered and said to me, we've sinned. We've sinned against the Lord. We will indeed go up and fight just as the Lord our God commanded us. And every man of you girded on his weapons of war and regarded it as easy to go up into the hill country. And the Lord said to me, say to them, do not go up nor fight, for I am not among you, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, but you would not listen. Instead, you did what? You rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and acted presumptuously and went up into the hill country. And the Amorites who lived in that hill country came out against you. And what did they do to them? And chased you like bees. Chased you as bees do. And crushed you from Seir to Hormah. And you returned and wept before the Lord. And here it is. But the Lord did not listen to your voice, nor give ear to you. So you remained in Kadesh many days, the days that you spent there, many days. The first reason that I find in the Word of God as to why God does not answer the prayers of His people sometimes, why God sometimes does not answer the prayers of His people, is because God's people rebel against their purpose. They rebel about the very purpose they were created. Israel was created and brought out of Egypt. God says, I brought them out to do what? Take them in. He didn't bring them out to lead them around in the wilderness 40 years. I'm telling you folks, He didn't save you so you run around 40 years doing the same thing over and over and over and over. There's a land to possess. There's something that you were born in this time to do. Moses was born in his time to lead a people. I believe with all my heart I am born in a specific time to do something for God. Are you? See, He known you from your mother's womb. He formed you in your mother's womb, the Bible tells us. Your days are written in His book, He says. Psalms 139, read it if you don't believe me. But that's what He says. Paul says, when I was born, I was separated from my mother's womb. And then in an appointed time, He called me. And He appointed me a job to do. And all of us have had that. One time we were walking in darkness. But God, who was rich in mercy, called us out of that kingdom of darkness and done what? Translated us into the kingdom of light. Why? So we could wander around in the wilderness 40 years? No. There's a land to possess. And the first thing that I find in the Word of God why people's prayers are sometimes not answered is because they rebel against the known purpose that they were born to do. We want God to speak to us. We want somebody to put their hands on us, prophesy over us, and tell us what our purpose in life is. And then we rebel against it. I don't want to do that. Well, it's not up to you. That's not why you were formed. You were formed to do it. First reason we find in the Word of God is people rebel against their known purpose. I want to give you five reasons that you can know if this is happening in your life. Well, how do I know if I am? I'm going to give you five tests. Five tests. You need to write these things down. Five tests to know if this is why God is not, maybe not answering your prayers. I always want to say maybe. Because I put hands on people that I knew were in rebellion to God. I've seen them pray prayers, and their prayers work. But I'm telling you, the Word of God says if you do this, they won't work. At least not as much as you want them to. How many times, when you pray, how many times do you want God to answer? Every time. If you knew He was just going to do it one out of three, you'd only pray one out of three, right? First thing that it says there is you grumbled in your tents. Am I right? Is that what the Word of God says? You grumbled in your tents. The first way you'll know if rebellion is happening in you is you're going home and you're grumbling about the things of God. If you're sitting at your table and you're grumbling about the house of God, I'm telling you, you're in rebellion. Now, let me stop because I see right now. Roger, I'm going to be a spiritual chiropractor today. Okay? How many would like a little adjustments in some ways that we think? Is that okay if I... Now, when Roger does this thing, I don't know if you've ever been to Roger or not, he'll put his knee in your back and he'll yank you and all of a sudden this pain will shoot through your body. But, you know, you're adjusted and you know, sometimes you go and your legs really are different lengths. But when you walk out of there, you're adjusted. And it might not have felt too good when he done all that. Can I kind of... put my knee in your back today and mine too. Now, I don't need myself, okay? I always preach this to me before I preach it to you. I went home this morning and I told my wife, I said, Judy, I said, this message ministered to me as much as any message that God's ever given me. Did I say that? Because, you see, I saw some things in my life that I needed somebody to put their knee in my back and give me a little adjustment. Now, will you let me? Okay, you love me. So now receive the Word of God. See me in my calling. Not this guy up here in his black suit walking around and talking to you, okay? See me and what God's called me to do. First thing is you grumble in your house. You grumble in your tents. These folks, they grumbled about everything. They grumbled about Moses. Moses, who are you? We can hear God. Moses, who do you think you are? Take us back to the onions and the cucumbers and the leeks. Take us back where we were. You brought us out here to die. This thing's going to fall. No, it's going to fall. They grumbled about Aaron. Who are you, Aaron? You the only one that's holy? We can do these things you do. We can kill a goat. Y'all praise too long here, people say. My goodness, you stand up there 15, 20 minutes, sing four or five of these songs. My goodness, wouldn't it look like he'd let us sit down? Don't get out of the door. Most of us don't even get home before we start grumbling. We grumble in our cars. We grumble in our... Come on! But you see, praise is not praise until it comes out of your heart. I hope He never lets us sit down until we get something out of our heart to praise God. That's tonight. That's tonight. They grumble about Moses. They grumble about the manna. My goodness. All we get is this manna. What is it anyway? Come here, you grumble about the way I preach. You grumble about what I preach. I preach too long. I don't preach long enough. Grumble about the water, the Spirit. Goodness. Boy, if I was doing it, we'd have some Spirit there. We talk in tongues more. Some say we talk in tongues too much. Some say we don't talk in tongues enough. Come on. Am I right, Willis? You know I'm right. We grumble in our homes. And if this is happening in your home, folks, it could be a reason that your prayers aren't being answered. First reason that we need to investigate our house. David, you going to preach this back in Texas? It's pretty good so far, huh? Okay. You can't say too much about the tongues thing, but... I'm telling you, God does not like grumbling. He doesn't want you grumbling in your tent. The second thing it says there, the second reason that you'll find here, if you test yourself to see if you're in rebellion, is they received a negative report. He says, our brothers have made our hearts melt. 12 spies went out. Think of the percentages. Probably the people you're talking to are giving you a negative report. 10-2. Probably the people that you're talking to are giving you a negative report. 10 bad ones and 2 good ones. Now listen to me, if you don't get anything else I say, get this point. Do you realize it was because they listened to the wrong ones that they did not fulfill their purposes for God, and that they had to wander around in that wilderness for 40 years, that they lost that whole generation because they listened to the wrong people. And if you're listening to the wrong people, you'll never fulfill the will of God for your life. Receiving a negative report will keep your prayers from being answered because you'll get negative. How many have heard me say before, if you look for something wrong here, you'll find something wrong here. Something wrong here is not dependent upon something being wrong here. But you're not looking for something wrong here is because you're not seeing according to the flesh. You're seeing according to what? The Spirit. You're seeing what God wants to do here and not what exactly is going on right now. Critical people, when we become grumbling, when we become listening to a negative report, we get critical. That thing gets in us. And we start giving negative reports. And we miss the purpose of God for our lives. The reason they didn't go into the land was because they listened to the wrong people. Hear that. Let that go deep within you now. You need to guard who you sit and listen to. You can just be around it and it'll get on you. You might not even know that you don't like the way I button my coat until somebody tells you, I don't like the way he buttons his coat. You say, you know, I don't either. I just think about it. This is good. I'm telling you, this is good stuff. The third reason we find there that the Bible tells us in this passage that I want to show you that the reason they didn't, that their prayers wasn't answered, why God did not hearken to their voice, was the bees got after them. How many saw that the bees got after them? Yeah, I got a real revelation on that one. Roger, this is going to minister to you, buddy. Amen. Bees got after them. What's the bees? Well, the bees are the Amorites. It's those enemies that come against you and will keep stinging you and keep chasing you, and you can't get rid of them. They chase you like the hornet's nest. That's what this picture is. Hornet's bees coming. You saw these cartoons with these little bears. They get into the bees, and here they come. And they got a V made right for your bottom, and here they come. And they're after you, and they're going to get you. What's in your life that you can't shake? What's in your life that keeps chasing you? Finances? I don't care how hard you pray, how hard you battle, finances are always stinging you. Home? Marriage? Children? Work? What is it that you can't pray about and it will leave you alone? It keeps stinging you, and you run a little while, and you think you're away from it, and you run a little while, and there he is. And you can't get away from the bees. If that's happening, and you're praying that God would take those bees away, and those bees are still there, he's probably not answering your prayer. Now, some things happen when you get stung by bees. I had a real revelation of this. I was out trimming my hedge the other day, and I trimmed all my front hedges. I had my little electric hedge clipper, and I was clipping all my hedges, and I clipped all of them in the front, and I went around behind the house, and I was clipping behind the house, And I was right behind the house. I was clipping these hedges. And my wife's right behind me here in the window washing dishes. Standing there washing dishes, looking out the window. I'm clipping hedges. And all of a sudden, unaware to me, there is a hornet's nest in this hedge. And I clipped this thing, and all of a sudden, zit, 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 zit. And I knew what was happening. You know when the bee's there, don't you? You know. I took off running. My wife goes, and I'm looking back because those bees are chasing me. Finally, I get away from them. I'm knocking them off. 8 times I got stung, at least 8 times. I had 8 marks on me. I can be like Paul. I've been marked for the Lord. Eight marks on me, on my legs, on my arms. 8 marks on me where those hornets got me. 8 hornets stung me at one time. You know what I did? I cried out to the Lord. That's the first thing I did. Oh, God, I'm going to die. I mean, when you start wondering if 8 hornets got you. So, you know, first thought that came to me, maybe I'll be like old Paul. I'll just shake it off. And the old serpent bit him, you know, and he just shook it off and he was okay. I said, well, maybe it won't bother me. Man of faith, you know. So I went in the house, and I went in there, and got me some apple juice, and I said, Judy, just got stung by 8 hornets. Her and Bonnie was in there. They says, let's panic. Let's go to the hospital. Let me call out the cash.
I said, no. I said, you know, I know what happened. I got into some fire ants got me one time, and I had a reaction to it. And I knew what I was going to do because I already felt it coming. And I said, this is what's going to happen. I said, I'm going to whelp up. I'm going to itch. I said, but I'm going to monitor myself. If my breathing starts getting funny or my heart stops beating funny, I said, take me to the hospital. So I went out and I sat down in my chair. And I was just sitting there waiting for all this to happen. And it did. It happened, you know. And so I started itching. And I started whelping. And my hands started swelling. My eyes started swelling. My nose got about that wide. And I just sit there. Wasn't nobody talking to me. They was watching me. You okay? Just sitting there. And all this was happening to me. My shoes got tight on my feet. My ring got so tight. My fingers swelled up. My hands swelled up. My eyes were getting closed. The phone rang. This was about 30 minutes, an hour into this thing. The phone rang. And Stephen called me to ask me something about camp or the youth trip or something. I don't remember exactly. And I hadn't talked. You see, I hadn't talked since all this happened. So Bonnie says, Daddy Steve's on the phone. So I pick up the phone. I say, did nothing come out? I mean, that's what happened. And finally, I muscled it up. I grunted it. Hello? And he said, what happened to you? I says, I got stung by 8 hornets. And he said, well, my goodness, he thought I got stung in the throat. I didn't get stung in the throat. I got stung everywhere else. But I had swollen so badly on the inside of me. My outside was bad, but it was not as bad as on the inside. And this was itching from the inside out. Just couldn't do too much about it. Well, just to make it, an hour later, it all passed. Okay, it went away. Now, I didn't feel good for a couple of days, but it went away. Just like I said it would. But anyway, the revelation that I want to bring you now about the bees after you. How many of those, when a bee stings, the first thing it does is hurt? And you go to work, and there's the bees, and they sting you. You ever been hurt at work? Boss hurt you? Worker hurt you? Somebody hurt you at work? Or you go home from work, there's the bee. Okay? Yeah, honeybee. Honeybee. Okay? You're hearing this. Or somebody calls on the telephone and says, you're 2 weeks behind on your payment. The bee, you know. And there's the bees. Now, what's happening is this. The first thing, that hurts. First thing a bee, when it happens to you, when a bee stings you, is it hurts. You don't like it. You don't feel good. Second thing, immediately, it's amazing how quickly they can do it. It's how quickly they can get that poison in your body. It comes in, and in just a short while, everything about your being is affected. Your appetite's not right. You can't sleep right. Everything about your being is affected. So you get hurt. Poison gets into you. Your whole being is affected. Whole being gets affected. You can't sleep right. You can't eat right. Everything's messed up. The third thing that happens is there's some swelling that's going to come. Now, when you get by 8 of them, you're going to swell a lot. So it's according to how many bees get you. But the more bees, the more swelling. My fingers swole. What I could do for God was very limited. Because something on the inside of me coming out caused my hands to be where I couldn't do the things for God. My feet swole. My shoes got tight. My walk with God was affected. My eyes swole. Seeing things in the Spirit, I couldn't see. I couldn't see well. Because my eyes were swelling closed. Am I right? And I thought I could talk until I tried to say, hello. My prayer life is tremendously affected. I can't pray because I got poison in me. All this happens because they rebelled against their purposes for bees get after us. Bees are stinging you, folks, I'm telling you. Your relationship with God is affected. Everything you try to do is affected. Your walk is affected. Your talk is affected. You don't see things right because you got poison in you. You can't talk. You can't pray. You can't minister to people because of the poison that's in you. And it's all because we rebelled against God's purpose to start with. This is a good word. Fourth thing that happens. Fourth thing you'll find there is that they had to stay in Kadesh for a long time. And you know the story is they had to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. What you do, folks, is going to affect your children. The fourth thing is it affects the whole house. You rebelling against the purposes of God is going to affect your whole house. It's not just you. It's your children. You see, it just wasn't the old folks that had to wander around for 40 years. Who was it? All of them. And when one of us rebels against the purposes of God, it's going to affect this whole body. And we're going to be wandering around. And it wasn't Moses that rebelled. It was the people that rebelled. And because the people rebelled, Moses had to wander around for 40 years and didn't even get to go in. And you see, what I'm trying to say to you is it's not only going to affect you, it's going to affect your children. Where are your children at? Are they serving God? Are you teaching them to serve God and seek after the things of the Spirit and go possess the land? Are you teaching them to rebel and sit around the dinner table and talk about the preacher and talk about how long we praise and say, boy, if I'd have preached that, I'd have preached it differently. What are you doing? You see, is it affecting your family? Are you bringing your family into the land? It affects the family. The whole generation. One day it's really going to dawn on us. One day it's really going to dawn on us that what I do or don't do and my call and the things of God is going to affect him and my daughter. One day it's going to dawn on you that what you don't do or what you do according to your call and purpose and the things of God is going to affect your kids. Whether your kids are blessed, whether your kids are not blessed, whether your kids' prayers are answered, whether your kids' prayers are not answered is greatly dependent upon what you do according to your call. That's the fourth thing. Fifth thing, they only prayed when the bees came. Never says there that they ever sought God. Never says that they ever sought God before the bees came. What we do in the church, and we're all guilty of this, some more so than others, but we have developed an emergency prayer life. We have developed an emergency prayer life. We only pray when we're getting stoned. We're only praying when God allows the bees to come into our life. And we wonder, well, why do you do that, God? We've developed an emergency prayer life. God doesn't want an emergency prayer life. He says this, the seventh armor of God that we put on is praying in the Spirit how much? Always. Always. We're supposed to live a prayer life. We're supposed to go from prayer to prayer and work miracles in the middle. We should be praying, not in emergencies. If we would pray before the emergency, maybe the emergencies would never come. We have this vision of God as being big granddaddy in the sky in his throne rocking chair. And as long as my intentions are right, you see, their intentions were right, wasn't it? They wanted to go up and kill the Amorites. Their intentions were right, but God wasn't there. He says, tell them not to do it, Moses. He said, but we see God in this big old rocking chair. Getting you sick, aren't I? And we think that if our intentions are right, then God will honor our prayers. Show me that in the Word of God. Hear me now. I'm not saying you got a bad heart. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the Word of God does never say if your intentions are right, He'll answer our prayers. Saul had that problem. Turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 28. I'm closing. 1 Samuel 28, Saul had that problem. Saul was chosen in Israel to be king. To be king of all of Israel and to defeat the Philistines and the Amorites and all those Idites that were coming against the people of God. But he got possessed by something else. He decided that he'd rather kill David than kill the Philistines. He decided that it would be better if he'd done what he wanted to do and not what God wanted him to do. 1 Samuel 28. And rather than doing what he's called to do, he did what he wanted to do. See, our intentions is not what causes God to listen and answer our prayers. Here's the deal. Samuel had already told Saul. He says obedience is what? Better than sacrifice. He says when you are in disobedience, it's like witchcraft. God's not going to answer witchcraft. You might have a right intention, but if it's not God's purpose and it's not what He called you to do, I'm telling you right now, He will not hearken to you. Look with me. 28, verse 5 and 6. What's happened here is the Philistines are camped about him. The bees are there. The bees are there. The hornet's nest is built. And there he can see it. The Philistines are there. And then in verse 5, it says, when Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim and Thummim. He couldn't get a word. He couldn't get one of his priests to minister to him. He couldn't get a word from God. He couldn't pray and get a word from God. He couldn't get a word. His intentions, he thought, was right. Now he's going to fight the Philistines. But you see, all this other stuff had led up to it. He had missed his purpose. Israel come to the river, and they wanted to go across. God says, no, you've rebelled against your purpose. I'm not going to listen to you. Five reasons. I've given you five tests. And these tests are not made to condemn you. How many knows that God is not looking for reasons that He does not have to answer your prayers? I want to say that, and I want to make sure that you don't have to have all your P's and Q's just right. It's really got a lot to do with your length of time in serving Him. Quickly, I'll just say this. I told you earlier about the guy that had up prayed that all the red lights would be green. They were. The guy that prayed for the parking place. And there was one. I'm telling you, that happens to baby Christians, because that's a baby Christian prayer. And that will happen to baby Christians. But there comes a time when that guy will pray for that green lights and they'll be red. And there'll be a time when he'll pray for that parking place and he'll have to park on the end of the lot, because he's growing in the Lord. Let me share this point with you. Here's Hannah. Hannah cries at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. What do you all do? Pray. What else do you do? You get up and feed her. Okay? You get up and feed her. She messes up her diaper. What do? You change her. Hannah's how old? 11 weeks old. Babies can cry out at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We'll get up. Go take care of them. Feed them. Change their diapers. This guy's 22 years old. He was to call out at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, "Daddy, will you go down and fix me a sandwich?" If he messes up his diaper, he's going to have to clean it up. How many hear that now? You see, babies are self-centered. They're very selfish individuals. They have to be that way. They have to be taken care of. And God treats them like babies because that's what they are. And they'll make these little cries and they want to be tended to, and we'll tend to them. But as we grow up in God, I'm telling you folks, there's some things we can do for ourselves, and if we don't do them, He won't hearken to us. Amen. Five tests. Number one, have you been grumbling? Number two, have you been listening to a bad report? Number three, are the bees there? Number four, you're affecting your children one way or the other. Number five, I hope you can get out of an emergency prayer life and you can develop the first thing you want to do in the morning. If you have to get up 30 minutes or an hour early every day to do it, I hope you develop a disciplined prayer life when you pray every day to God and not just when the bees are there. I want to repent. What do we do? Okay, I've given you five tests. I'm going to give you five things now to do to get rid of this stuff. Before I do, how many will be honest enough and confess, I am guilty of at least one of those things? How many will be honest enough to say, no? We're all guilty of these things. And that's why I'm trying to say, we get here, why aren't you answering our prayers, God? And we're walking around rebelling to God's purposes. We're walking around not doing what He wants us to do, grumbling about everything, doing these things, and we're wondering why God's not answering us. I'm trying to help us. How many knows I'm trying to help us, not condemn us, okay? God is not looking for reasons not to answer our prayers. God's trying to find reasons that He can. But there's some things that when we live in and we continuously do them over and over and over, He'll say, "I can't listen to you." Do you realize they grumble 10 times about 10 different things? All right. Number one, the first thing we've got to do is repent. Talked about last week. If we'll confess our sins, see, this is a sin. If we confess our sins, what will He do? He's faithful and just to do what? Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from how much? All unrighteousness. Even the things that you can't remember to confess, He'll still cleanse you of them. That's the first thing we've got to do. They came to Peter and they said, "What must we do?" He says, "Repent." That's the first thing. Second thing we've got to do, stop grumbling in our tents. Third thing we've got to do is stop listening to negative reports. Listen, find the two that's got the good report. Avoid the ten. Paul says this, Romans chapter 16, mark those that cause divisions among you and do what? Avoid them. Why? So that stuff won't get in you. Avoid them. Doesn't mean you disassociate totally, but you don't go and sit around and be negative about stuff. And not if you want your prayers answered. Now, if you don't want your prayers answered, then go and have fellowship with them. I know that's not, I'm being facetious and sarcastic. I know you want your prayers answered. That's why I'm saying this. Avoid negative comments. Third thing, fourth thing, develop a disciplined prayer life. And fifth thing, you got to give this thing some time. It took several hours for that poison to get out of my body when those bees stung me. It took several days. Just because God's not answering all your prayers right now, don't stop praying. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking reasons why He's not answering. Keep on knocking on His door and find out why. Let's do some adjusting. Let's do some repenting. How many has heard this today? Let's stand.